Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Infibeam Avenues Limited Q1 FY24 conference call hosted by Go India Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rajat Gupta from Go India Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Salvin. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Infibeam Avenues Limited earnings call to discuss the Q1 FY24 results. We have on the call with us today Mr. Vishal Mehta, Managing Director, Mr. Vishwas Patel, Executive Director, Mr. Sunil Bhagat, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Purvesh Parekh, Head Investor Relations. Also joining us on the call today is Mr. B. Ravi, who is advising Infibeam on corporate and financial strategy as an independent consultant. We must remind you that the discussion on today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must be therefore viewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. I now request the MD, Mr. Vishal Mehta, to take us through the company's business outlook and financial highlights, subsequent to which we'll open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, and welcome to Infibeam Avenues first quarter 2024 earnings call. I'm very excited to present the outstanding quarterly performances of our business, and I'd like to share that some of the achievements have been cemented by our position as a trailblazer in the digital payments industry. Last quarter, we achieved the highest-ever gross and net revenues. Gross revenue was 742 crores, which has been up 77% year-over-year, while the quarterly net revenue is about 99 crores. The adjusted mark-to-market loss, which we have recorded in other expenses, if you remove the consolidated adjusted EBITDA, was 56 crores, up 31% year-over-year, while adjusted profit after tax was 32 crores, up 40% year-over-year. Our profitable revenue business strategy has shown successful results, and we should be very confident of being able to create better value for our shareholders going forward. I'm also very confident about achieving this year's guidance. We have published the guidance in our presentation. It is slide 8 of the presentation in our press release. We think that this is achievable, and we should be able to set the path for our next-level growth as we instill confidence in the shareholders. We expect revenues to come in between 3,000 crores-3,300 crores, which is the gross revenue, and net revenue for the year at about 410 crores-415 crores. Gross revenue will be about 50%-70% year-over-year growth, whereas net revenue will see anywhere between 25%-27% year-over-year growth. The EBITDA that we expect for this year will be between 230 crores-235 crores, which will see an increase of around 30% year-over-year, and a PAT between 130 crores-150 crores, which is about 40%-60% year-over-year increase. Over the past few quarters, our company has experienced unprecedented growth in our payments business. Our relentless pursuit of excellence and innovation has allowed us to capitalize on the ever-expanding digital landscape, revolutionizing the way merchants conduct business transactions. One of the key highlights of our performance has been a substantial increase in merchant adoption for our digital payment gateway, CCAvenue. Yet again, this quarter, we added 9,500 merchants on a daily average basis, and now we have 10 million merchants. We've seen a surge of demand for our TapPay solution that we launched about two quarters ago. This serves as a testament for our trust and confidence that our solution is optimized for the experience that merchants request. Our payment gateway, as well as our brand, is a gold standard in the payment gateway business. At Infibeam Avenues, corporate governance lies at the heart of our business conduct. We firmly believe and adhere to the principle of transparency, accountability, and they're essential pillars for our long-term success and trust. Our commitment to strong corporate governance permeates every aspect of our business, fostering a culture of trust and reliability that resonates with all our clients and stakeholders. we've made certain leadership appointments as we evolve our business. Vijay Subramaniam, who has been with the company, he's been appointed as in the role of CEO for our platform business. Vijay comes with a degree from IIT Madras and he's worked at Amazon after doing his master's in Urbana-Champaign. And he's worked on several of the key projects at Amazon prior to joining Infibeam. He will now lead the entire platform business for our company in taking it to the next phase. Vishwas Patel, who was the executive director, he will join the role as a joint managing director and will focus on improving and deepening our payment experiences both in India and international. And international markets, we've already announced that we've launched and started our business operations in many of the countries, including UAE, Australia, US, as well as some GCC markets like Saudi Arabia. I will be deeply focused on building, you know, which we've announced recently called the AI FinTech Hub. This AI FinTech Hub is a horizontal layer on top of our existing businesses, which is including both platforms and payments. Change is always around the corner and sometimes you proactively invite it and sometimes it comes knocking. But when we look at the potential of what artificial intelligence and machine learning can accomplish, we think that this is the right time to embrace. It's a bold bet, but it's one worth taking. The companies that will do well in the long term and succeed are the ones that are able to create intelligence within their systems and processes and focus on productivity as well as other aspects of what we can accomplish for our clients. I'll be serving as the Chairman Managing Director of Infi Avenues, and both Vijay as well as Vishwas will be taking over some of the functions that enable us to grow over both platform as well as payments business. The world is experiencing unprecedented digitization across various sectors, revolutioning the way we transact, the way we work, the way we live. Digital transformation has also brought in an alarming increase in cyber fraud, security breaches, as well as posing significant challenges to both individuals, businesses, and governments worldwide. In this era, artificial intelligence will emerge as a very powerful ally in combating such fraud, managing risks, as well as ensuring secure authentication process. Infibeam will establish India's first artificial intelligence hub headquartered in GIFT City, and we will initially focus on fintech and financial sectors, building solutions in these three areas, which we acronym call FAR, which is fraud detection, authentication, and risk. To bolster our play, Infibeam will also be hiring some well-known industry experts to build the business vertical under my leadership. This will create more value for Infibeam going forward. We are also doing some structural changes to sharpen our focus on the core business, which is payments and enterprise software. We're listing our wholly owned subsidiary Odigma into, which is into online digital marketing. It's run by professionals. The CEO of the company is Matthew. He's got a degree from IIM Bangalore. He's been with us for several years. And they have certain marquee clients with them. They're profitable. And they will also be running our registry business called .000. While .000 earlier was in the standalone Infibeam Avenues financials, that particular business will be transferred to Odigma as we believe it is complementary to them in offering domain infrastructure, domain services along with marketing solutions. Infibeam Avenues will also increase its stake in Fable FinTech Private Limited. If you recollect, Infibeam owned 16% of this business. It was into remittances to and from India, primarily focused on bank-grade software, bringing remittances from different countries into India. When somebody had to send small amounts of money from international to India, they would not be able to afford a $25 SWIFT. And rather than using alternative channels, this particular company provides bank-grade software so that individuals can send even small amounts like $50 and $100 into India while paying a very small fee. And the technology enables it to actually make it extremely competitive and productive. And while we were looking at this business and while we're looking at payments and globalization of payments, we'll be adding an additional 25%, increasing our stake in the company to 41%. We'll also be subscribing into compulsory convertible debentures of 1.4 crores into the company along with other investors. This particular company has marquee list of investors including ICICI Bank, Paytm and many others. And what we plan to do is to increase our holding and make it an associate company of ours, whereby Infibeam Avenues will own 41% of the company. Overall, our aim is to seize the maximum opportunity in growing digitization era that is complementary to our business and stay ahead. I will now ask Vishwas to give you updates on our payment business. Vishwas, over to you.
Thank you, Vishal. So over the past months, we have worked relentlessly to enhance our technology and strengthen our operating metrics. And I'm thrilled to share the results of our efforts with all of you. Our mission has always been to revolutionize the way transactions are conducted, and I'm proud to say that we have delivered on that promise. We have developed state-of-the-art infrastructure that ensures security, scalability, and lightning fast transaction processing. Our upgraded technology stack will not only bolster our offerings, but will also provide a seamless and a delightful experience to both the merchants and the consumers. A CC Avenue TapPay solution, which is a revolutionary mobile application, is a step in this direction, which holds a lot of promise to change the way payments are done in our country and beyond. It offers 200 plus payment options to merchants in a single integration, and which is by far the highest number of payment options in the offline mode in India. Since we started rolling out, we have achieved 150,000 downloads in 7-8 months of FY 2023, 50,000 higher than we had anticipated. This has doubled to now over 300,000 by the end of Q1 FY24. We are seeing an accelerated demand from the merchants. Our aim is to reach the hinterlands of India, offering our products, our SoftPOS, which is a very sophisticated app-based payment solution, yet very simple to use, and it's relatively cheaper than the competition and is portable. Internationally, UAE continues to grow as expected and continues to maintain a stable double-digit net take rate. In Saudi Arabia, we should receive our data localization compliance certificates in a month to be able to start rolling out digital payments. In bill payments to BBPS, our volume-based payment share has improved by 80 basis points to 11.1% in Q1 from 10.3% in Q4. In Q1, which is typically a seasonally weak quarter during the year, the net take rate was around 8.4 basis points, which is up 16% year-on-year, but was slightly down compared to 9 basis points in Q4 due to the change in business and payment mix. An increase in transaction from certain low MDR industries and a spike in less credit card transactions that have slightly lowered the take rate compared to the debit options resulted in net take rate going down during the quarter. But we are hopeful that Q2 onwards, with the onset of festivities and later followed by the travel season, the take rates will improve and move towards our guided double-digit figures by the end of the year. I'll now hand over the call to Sunil to give you the financial updates. Sunil ji, all yours.
Thank you, Vishwas sir. Our dedication to prudent financial management, strategic investments, and operational excellence has yielded results that are a testament to our collective efforts. Financially, we have achieved impressive growth driven by a steadfast focus on efficiency and innovation. Our revenue has surged by 77% year-on-year to 742 crore, driven by higher contribution from credit card payment. Credit card, like the previous quarter, contributes more than 50% to overall payments processed in India. This number for us is about 80% in the UAE market. The growth in revenue is complemented by an equally robust increase in profitability. With a rise of 31% in EBITDA and 40% in PAT, adjusted for M2M gain or loss, which is a notional value, and not part of the operations, strictly speaking. Operationally, the number of merchants have touched 10 million, which is a great future potential for us to cross-sell through lending, that is express settlement, and other modes that we have. Our net take rate for the quarter was 8.4 basis points, up 16% year-on-year. We continue to work towards taking our net take to double digits. We have highlighted on slide number 9, short to medium term key focus areas on how we are planning to take it to double digits. As we speak, we are already working with banking partners and with merchants on pricing, and we are seeing positive outcome for some of these initiatives already. International expansion is on track. We'll share more details once we go live over the next few months. UAE continues to be in double digit net take rate zone wise. With the launch of TapPay in UAE, we will be able to gather higher market share in the region, and we'll also launch it in Saudi Arabia and other GCC markets. Offline, CC Avenue TapPay as a strategy will start bearing fruits for us over the next 12 to 18 months. We have a focused strategy to scale our international business. As we look to the future, we remain committed to our vision of sustainable growth, innovation, and unwavering financial integrity. Our accomplishments this quarter, coupled with our guidance for the year, pave the way for an even brighter journey ahead, one in which we will continue to create value for all our stakeholders. With this, I will now hand over the call to the operator to open the floor for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Jonathan Fernandez from Whitebridge Capital Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, just a few questions. So most of the new age internet companies are currently like diversifying into lending. And is it because there is more money to be made in lending, or is there something else? Like, what would be your take on this? And secondly is, if you could throw some more light on the TapPay expansion plan, like how many downloads have you seen, what are the performance goals, and, you know, how do you plan to compete with, you know, the established players in the offline space, whether it's the POS players or the new age UPI company with QRs. So how do you plan to compete with them, because they're more prevalent in the offline space, right?
Sure. So, you know, I can answer the second question first, and then I'll go to the person. This is Vishal Mehta. As far as TapPay is concerned, we think that there's a big potential for TapPay to get into the services business, not just products. You know, whether you're a small-time consultant or whether it is, being able to provide some services. You know, typically these merchants don't have a point-of-sale solution. And so to be able to offer solutioning not just to merchants but also to service providers is a big opportunity that we believe is in front of us. While we have not segmented the numbers and we have not provided numbers in terms of how TapPay will grow, one thing I can tell you is that we expect that we will hit 1 million merchants this year itself. That's almost 10% of the population of merchants that we hold today. So if we are at a 10 million number, I think, you know, we should at least have 10% of our merchants on TapPay. That's the internal metrics that we are working on. The take rates for these merchants are better than what we see in the online front. You know, directionally, we have said that we want to go to two-digit take rates. While we are at 8.4 basis points, we'd like to get the take rate to go into double digits. And, you know, a combination of international expansion, TapPay, and be able to focus on certain verticals, which are high yield, will allow us to get there. So, you know, I think that is, in a nutshell, what we can share at the moment. And when we get, you know, but one thing I can tell you is that TapPay is not meaningful at this moment in our overall structure that we can segment out and be able to talk about it specifically. 10% of the population is not a small number, we believe, in 1 year. So we think that, you know, it's in a very important one. It's an acquisition we've made. And, you know, we feel more confident about the success of this acquisition going forward, given that we'll not just open up in India, but also in international locations. Vishwas just mentioned that in UAE also we'll open up TapPay. And we should be able to increase our merchant count by multifold there, by a factor there compared to here, because the base there is smaller compared to what we have in India. So this is as far as TapPay is concerned. You know, can you remind me what was the first question? You were slightly easy. I was not able to follow the first question, please.
Yeah, so the first question was mainly about, you know, most of the companies are diversifying into lending. So I just want to know, like, what would be your take be? Is it because there is more money to be made in lending, or is there some other component to it? What do you see?
Lending, if you look at some of the global peers, you will find that the revenue streams come from payment, lending and advertising for some of the large internet companies. And so I think that's a proven thesis that, you know, these three verticals are potentially, you know, ones that can provide profits to companies and that too at scale. And what we believe in is that if you're not, if you're in the technology business and if you're not at scale, then you're not doing anything important. So in whatever we are doing, you know, whether you talk about payments where we've scaled up or whether we think about enterprise software that manages scale, you know, I think that becomes the core mantra for us that, you know, whatever we need to do, we need to actually scale up. As far as lending as an opportunity is concerned, I think, you know, it's evolving. I think India's, you would have noticed that there are a lot of regulations that have changed around lending in the past few quarters. You know, and compliance to those regulations become very critical and important. That is one. Second is that we think, you know, straight through processing, lending through, you know, having merchants sign up for payment gateway and be able to offer them, you know, lending solutions become an extremely attractive proposition. And so I think that, you know, we already have discussed in the past what we are doing in terms of instant settlement or express payment, whereby the merchant can receive payments immediately as opposed to waiting for 2 days or 5 days settlement period. So we think the cost of collection is, lending is really about collection and not about giving. So we think that as long as you're able to optimize your process in such a way that you can have visibility, transparency, and have, you know, the cost of collection go to or tend to, and I would say practically zero, but yeah, practically zero, then I think that in such cases, it becomes a very attractive proposition and Indian market is ripe for it. So we think that lending is a very important facet of what we'll end up doing. And we think that, you know, as we build up, you'll hear more about what the company will end up doing. When we talk about artificial intelligence and a few things that allow us and enable us to backtest our models and be able to deliver on performances, those are decision-making models. So when we think about and when we discussed about our AI hub opportunities of you know, fraud, authentication, and risk, these are risk models. And if we are able to build out such models that potentially allow us to be able to externalize them and offer it to others, I think, you know, it becomes an attractive proposition. One, first we will try on ourselves before we do and provide to others. But we think express settlement is a big opportunity right now for us. And with the cash reserves that we have, we'll double down on that this year.
All right, and lastly, if I could just raise the last question, I just wanted to know, like, what are your thoughts on how do you see the business evolving in the next 3 to 5 years and that kind of a timeline?
See, I'll tell you, I think that, you know, we've discussed that, you know, we want to, you know, get to a point where we get to $100 billion in processing, you know, in the next couple of years. We think that, you know, that potential does exist. We want to get to a double-digit take rate. It will be a combination of, you know, domestic and international growth. International is less than 10% of our overall single-digit percentage. We would like to allow it to grow to a 30% number. And, you know, while India also grows and, you know, India being the beachhead, and we'll be able to, while we build out all the solutioning for India, fortunately, in payments, India is far more evolved than other countries. So that gives us an edge and an advantage. So we think that we'll continue building out the business in that front. We are, you know, getting into, you know, the entire you know, discussion and conversation around artificial intelligence. And I think that, you know, that becomes a very critical factor for any company. You know, I'm very optimistic about it, and the way we see the response and the things that are evolving around us. So I think, you know, while we look at, you know, different aspects of artificial intelligence, the ones that we'll focus on are, you know, the ones that go horizontal between commerce and payments, one being, you know, data models, because a lot of companies have data, but it's not in a perfect shape where you can model on top of it. Second is actual the models themselves and being able to test and tune them. And then the third thing are the decision models, the ones that allow you to actually make decisions. And those are the three fronts. And I think, you know, any problem that you'll see in AI, you typically have these three areas that one has to work on. So we are very solutions focused on this, and within that solutions, we build our products.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. The next question comes from the line of Anuj Narula from Makarana Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. I have three questions. So this foray into artificial intelligence that we have announced with our Q1 results, can you give us more details on what exactly are we planning here? And even though this is a bit too early, but given that AI seems to be everywhere now, how big are we planning to take this business going forward? So this is my first question. And another one is, like, just wanted to have a bit more understanding about your bill payments. Can you share some more statistics in terms of where we are, our performance, and how we plan to grow in this business, and who will be our major competitors in this business segment? And lastly, just one more thing. Any plans to get into B2C business in the future?
So I'll take the AI question, and I'll have Vishwas take the bill payments question that you have. See, I mean, I know that, you know, a lot of people have heard about artificial intelligence and machine learning has been a technology with very, very high promise. It's been around for decades, but it's only in the last 5-10 years that you would have seen that companies have pervasively started utilizing it. And the shift in that has been, you know, I mean, because of access to such high volumes of compute capacity, which is available at such a low price, and, you know, extensively data being available to be able to go and process and, you know, get some predictive frameworks out. So I think, you know, these, you know, whether you talk about large learning models or generative AI, they've been around for quite a bit. And I think, you know, a lot of innovation have happened in the past, at least few years that we've seen. So we think that, you know, we are going to focus on solutions, you know, which are going to help both of our platform as well as payments business. We think of AI as a horizontal layer, which will enable it. To give you an example, you know, while Infibeam Avenues has a lot of data, but the first place where one has to maybe start thinking about is this data in a format where you can run algos on top of it? This is not just pure analytics. But do you have the capacity to create your own data lakes? And is it in a format, in a framework that you can actually run, you know, modern neural nets and algorithms and deep learning that you want to conduct on top of? And I think every company, because India has significant amounts of data, but this data is not in a format that somebody can utilize. Short of putting it in Excel or putting it in some small DB, I don't think that they are in a capacity where you can utilize it and put models on top of it. And so I think a horizontal layer where you're able to go and extract this data and put it in a format where you can run models is one area of solutioning that the company will focus on, starting with its own data. That's one. The second area that we will focus on is the modeling part. A lot of data exists with companies, but a lot of companies we realize don't know what to do with it. And so, you know, how do you build out such models? How do you tune such models is the second area that we can participate in solutioning with. And these are not mutually exclusive. They could be either or, but they're not mutually exclusive. And then the third part in organizational structure for this is an ability to be able to drive decisions. Once you reach a certain, you know, competency with these models, are the models able to help you make decisions? And when you think about it, I mean, these are the three areas that we think will be important for the company. We will be partnering with commercial as well as government utilization for such things. And in the next few weeks, we will be sharing more information about who we will be working with. We don't think that this is, just an India-specific project or program for us. We will utilize the skill sets in the framework on our own, in our own businesses. And we will look at providing solutioning to other companies. What we are not doing is building out a product that everybody will utilize from day one. So I think as we build up, we expect that it will be remunerative, and then within that solutioning, we'll build out products, which is an approach that we have taken as we build out this framework. We will be adding more data scientists onto our business and onto our payroll, and we think that, with the promise that AI, leaves, and we think it's completely transformative. But I'll leave that decision for a future conversation, maybe with all of you. But what we will do is, like I said, I'll be leading that program, and maybe that's all I can tell you at this moment. Hopefully that gives you some idea in terms of how we think through this business. The bill payments, Vishwas, you want to take that over?
Yes, sir. Okay, Vishwas here. So our whole bill payment strategy, which is distinct from the payment strategy that we have, right, is run through our Bill Avenue solution and our majority-owned subsidiary company, Go Payments thing. So BBPS, Bill Avenue, it's an interoperable online payment platform for all Indian citizens. So we have received now a perpetual license from the Reserve Bank of India to operate as a Bharat bill payment operating unit for both consumers and billers on both sides. So today, as we stand, some of the biggest billers that are there, be it Indian Oil, HP, GAIL, DISTV, ICICI Bank, so we are among the top three in the BBPOU volume. Over the billers that we have onboarded onto the BBPS platform, almost 87% of all billers have been onboarded by us on the BBPS platform. And on the other side, when you see the agent network that we have across our AIs, more than 1 million touch points are there across 1,300 plus cities and towns across India. These are the small shops which are, opposite stations for bill bhuktan kar sakte ho and book train tickets and things. So more than 1 million touch points are there across the country. If you see the volumes, continuous rise, right? So if you see FY23, we did around 14,800 crores of almost processing almost 11.8 crore transactions of bill payments. And this quarter, this 3 months, we have done now 4,800 crores alone in 3 months and processed over 3.4 crore bills. So the growth volumes and this thing is continuously growing. And under this thing, as we have also our own AI, that is Go Payments, there alone by giving a variety of other services. In FY23, we already did 12,440 crores through our AI subsidiary. And this quarter alone is another 3,432 crores of volumes processed through the Go Payments thing. So the whole strategy of driving this ecosystem of the bill payments with direct connects as well as putting on the billers on the other form is going great. So we are among the top players in this industry. Let's move to the next question. Hello.
He had asked whether you'd like to go to B2C in future.
B2C in future. Right now, no, there is no strategy. We always operate on the B2B principles, direct to merchants, direct to banks, our technology, including the Bill Avenue solution and the CCMU solution is used by variety of the banks whom we provide the tech. So the whole idea has always been B2B. The reason we don't go B2C is because of the high costs in consumer acquisition and the kind of solutions that are there, BNPL and others, does not excite us at the moment for end consumers. We'll focus on lending and other things, like even our new app that Vishal just told about, right? That whole app is what is different from what a Google Pay or a PhonePe is offering in the market. It is just a QR code printout, which is just through a UPI option. What we are offering is that you can just download an app, and you can start accepting cards on your own phone. It's just, and there is also static QR, where you can just show the QR and UPI payments can also come in. There is dynamic QR. There is link-based collections to the same app. So it's an omni-channel, world's most advanced omni-channel app, where even a kirana shop in any hinterland in India can just download the app, just like he's downloading a YouTube app or any other app, and start accepting payments. And it is not just restricted to a UPI payments. Here it is, his own phone, so he's not spending anything extra in buying a sound box or paying monthly rentals on that sound box, which is differentiated from the others in the market. And the kind of certification that we have, being able to take PIN on glass, which is like among the first in India, definitely, but also among the first in Asia Pacific, where even a transaction amount of about 10,000, maybe even a 2 lakh, if the card is valid, can be taken on the phone itself. So it's a very disruptive, different from the existing guys who are deploying hardware, who are deploying sound boxes and others. Ours is a simple app-based, and it will transform, and the results will come and see. As you said, we are among the only few where we are just not deploying a QR, but we are giving them not only a QR, but accepting the this thing through a mobile app, the entire credit cards, debit cards, and other things. That's the differentiation.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you. That's a great question.
Yeah.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Dipesh Sancheti from Manya Finance. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible? Hello?
Yes, sir, you are audible. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Just wanted to understand, what will be the role of Mr. Malay Mehta in the new company, which will be demerged, and what will be his holding? I mean, his holding directly, I think, is 1.29%. What is his indirect holding in Infinium Motors Private Limited, and will there be any selling seen from him?
There's no role per se, you know, which is your first question. You know, there's no new company that we are establishing. So it's a business vertical that we're setting up, you know, as an AI hub within the company. And, you know, that company is, I mean, as far as the initial core focus is concerned, we are going to keep on building up, you know, both in terms of, you know, the payments business as well as the platforms business. So to answer your question, I don't think there's any role, and neither it's a separate company. It's within the listed company itself that we are building out the AI hub as a vertical, headquartered in GIFT City. We do have plans to expand the hub across multiple cities in India, while the headquarters will be in GIFT City, but we will expand across other larger cities within the country as well. As far as, you know, the holding is concerned, it's listed, yeah, you're right, 1.29%. And, you know, the other group companies, you know, where you are talking about, where they hold, you know, equity in the listed company, they continue to be having independent directors in their own setups, whereby he is not involved in those company decisions.
So no holding in Infinium Motors Private Limited?
No. No holding.
Okay. Okay, and do you see any selling from him, I mean, after this exit?
I think it's, I mean, it'll be too hard to say because everyone's have their own decisions to make. But, you know, I think that, you know, as and when required by the regulatory authorities, we will be announcing whatever is out there. So I can't be able to comment on that at this time.
Okay. Okay. My second question is regarding the AI-enabled fraud detection. Are we looking at setting up our own, team, or are we looking at any acquisitions in the space? There are many companies in the listed space also available. So are we looking?
Our internal bias is to build and not to buy. So in other words, we will be having an internal team, of data scientists who will become part of us to build out. And, we'll continue evaluating opportunities as they come our way. So in other words, while we are not averse to, looking at, an acquisition, but our internal bias is still to build and not to buy.
Okay. And just the last question regarding the Tap Pay. Very exciting to listen to you about Tap Pay, how that, every phone can become a POS, if I understood it from your explanation of the last question. How do you download this? Is there any link or something? And secondly, is the understanding right that every phone will become a POS and we can accept payments on that? So effectively, for 140 crore people, there will be a lot more POS without any actually creating hardware for that.
Yes, Vishwas here. So the app is available, CC Avenue for Business, on the Google Play Store. You can download it from there. All the merchants and everybody, it's there on our CC Avenue website also. Link is provided. India is an Android market. So any Android version 9 and above, can accept it, and the phone should have an NFC. So every smartphone, I think about 3,500 rupees, is already having an NFC chip, right? So that is all the two requirement that is there. Android phone with NFC, which almost every phone has now, every smartphone of 3,500-4,000 and above has it, and Android version 9 and above which can accept it. And just go on CC Avenue. Even the sign up and online onboarding is also through the app itself.
Okay. It effectively becomes a POS, right?
It becomes, your phone becomes a POS, because that's where the whole thing is, to align with the Prime Minister's vision of, Har Bharatiya Vyapari. So it's an ability to pay is what we have been focusing till now. All the guys just be able to pay, go out with your house without cash. Now we are changing the whole 360 degrees, and now we are saying ability to collect. So anybody and everybody, be it even a courier at a railway station, after doing his job, he can just collect it, or a tuition teacher at the student's home can collect the payment by just taking out a phone. And the payment options are not restricted just UPI scanning and doing it. It is also credit cards, debit cards, because credit card volumes are growing. 1,50,000 crores and above per month volumes are growing. And debit cards and different wallets that are there in the market can be accepted through it.
Okay. Can you just explain what will be the revenue model for this? I mean, how will we...
It's the same CC Avenue model. We earn on every transaction. The BIPs part we discussed in the first part of the call, that's where it does. But in the offline world, the BIPs are a little higher. So the margins are in double-digit BIPs.
Great, great. All the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Garima Shah from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. I'm curious to know what's happening to the DEM 2.0 platform. I mean, are you in the process of building it through it's still some time away?
Yeah, so I'll give you some background. We've announced that as well in one of our public announcements. GEM 2.0 is a completely new platform. It has no relations with the current existing platform. There is an RFP which was floated by the Government of India, whereby, there's a definition called MSP, which is the main service provider, and that they would have to build it from scratch. The timeline for that is about 18 months to deploy. And, within that time frame, you also would need to migrate the old platform data and many others to the new platform. The current contract which we have, it's up to December 2023. And there is an option to extend that contract. Even in the existing contract, Infibeam Avenues is not the MSP. We provide the core technology infrastructure for the marketplace. And, you know, in the past as well, we've announced that we will be working with companies, whether it's a current MSP or whoever is the new MSP, in this case TCS, to be able to go and offer our core solutioning frameworks. So, you know, other than that, I don't have too much to share, but we expect that we should hear, you know, something in the next 2 to 4 weeks. You know, that is regarding, you know, the extension of the existing contract and how and when we would participate in terms of build out of the new program. And as we have available information, we'll share it with you.
So the processing volume of the 53,000 crores that we've done in this quarter, we earn some margins on that.
That's correct.
Okay, and that kind of, if everything goes well and whatever is the contract, that kind of can continue going ahead.
That's correct.
Okay. And the other question that I had was on this entire Go, what do you call this? Go payment. So the transaction value of 3,400 crores, what does it mean? It means all these services together, which you highlighted on the slide, or what was it?
Vishwas here. So it includes all the services provided by Go Payments to the agency, to the directly to the consumers. So that's the services they offer to the agents who further give on all these services. Like money transfer, recharges, insurance, cash collections, BBPS bill payments, other enabled payment systems and all that stuff. So the total volume done through that processing through those agent network last year was 12,440 crores. And this quarter, it has, in 90 days alone, it's around 3,432 crores.
And this has higher take rates, or what's the take rate that we earn?
So there are a variety of services, some are flat fee, some are percentage and other things. But at an individual, this unit level, it has already gone into profitability from this month itself.
Okay. Fine. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Ashish from Infinity Alter. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Just a couple of questions from my side. One is, there's a substantial cash in the balance sheet. What are the thought process in terms of capital allocation going forward on that?
Sure. So basically, we talked earlier about express settlements. And express settlement is such that rather than doing a settlement with a merchant on T+2 or T+5 days, we do the same day settlement. When you pay a merchant, generally it takes a settlement time before we would remit the amounts into the merchant account. But instead, we would do it the exact same day. And for that, we have extra bits. It's technically not lending, but it's essentially part of our rate contract and structure whereby we are able to do same-day settlement. What it does is it changes the cash flow of the merchant significantly. And through that, by design, our cost of collection practically is in there because the money is coming into our escrow. And then at the end, we would ensure that, you know, we would submit to the bank and take the amounts. And, you know, for that, we today put our own balance sheet. So what, rather than taking any loans, we will put our own balance sheet into it, because we have had, we've done more than integral-wise, more than $1 billion last year of express settlement with zero NPA. So now that we can do $1 billion, we think that we can go to $10 billion. And, you know, rather than doing and scaling it up without actually understanding the dynamics, we took an appropriately conservative approach And that's one place that, you know, we'd be positioning. And the second area that we'll focus on is international growth. So we think that international can potentially become 30% or more of our overall and, you know, revenues. And we think that, you know, somewhat raising capital as well as investing capital into the international markets. In each of the markets, there will be different dynamics. But we think that that becomes a potential opportunity for us to grow. And the third area that we'll be looking at investing into, and we've already announced that, is, you know, artificial intelligence, the AIML frameworks that we'll build up. And that is more of a solutioning framework, not a product framework. So we think that as we build up, we'll continue, you know, receiving revenues as well while we're building through. And eventually it'll transform into a product. Because you're solving large problems either for the government or commercial use and potentially building out, you know, products that help the industry build up further. These are the three areas that we're spending capital in.
And in terms of the adjusted PAT, what are the MTM? Why did we have an MTM loss this quarter? Is it part and parcel of our business? Because
the MTM loss is basically because of the investments that we've made in companies. So it's a notional loss.
Which the Middle Eastern company, is that the loss?
No, it's DRC Systems.
Okay. That is the...
It's a software services company that owns substantial portions of.
Okay, and yeah, okay. Thanks a lot. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Biju Nair, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, I would like to know when we can have NASDAQ listing. Since the share price is not moving, it's around 14. So we know that we don't have a controlled market. So what company is doing to create value for shareholders? So what is the plan for NASDAQ listing? Thank you. There was a report in Economic Times. That's why I was asking.
Yeah, so currently, I mean, the Indian company has no plans to list in NASDAQ. That much I can tell you. You know, international opportunities that we have whereby we own 100% subsidiary in other countries, one of them being UAE. UAE processes 10 billion dirhams right now on an annualized basis across 7,000 odd clients. So if you go to the top of Burj Khalifa, if you look at Emaar Property, Property Tax, the Mac Property, many others, and you know, hopefully some of you may have talked to your friends and family in UAE, they would have used ccavenue.ae. And with TapPay, from a few thousand merchants, we'll go to tens of thousands of merchants. Unlike India, UAE is not a very large geography. And the article that you refer to is where, you know, there are opportunities to raise capital in each region. And that is the reference that you may be alluding to. Currently, we don't have anything more to add other than the fact that they'd be raising capital. And as and when we hear from, you know, our subsidiary, we'll be able to announce it to you as well.
Sir, we are planning anything for corporate action like bonus issue to create value for shareholders?
Sir, we have given dividends, full year dividends for last year. We will continue evaluating, you know, and having our board advise us in terms of, you know, what we should be doing this year. We have given guidances for this year. We think we are very confident about achieving the numbers that we have stated in our guidance. And, you know, first quarter being a soft quarter, you know, we still had, you know, upwards of 30% growth in terms of gross revenues. You know, we've announced some kind of structuring where we're listing one of our subsidiary companies into the market and giving shares of that subsidiary company to our shareholders, which is Odigma, which is the one that we've announced recently. So, you know, as and when the opportunity is right and the businesses have scaled up and matured and when they have an opportunity to grow, we will continue doing this.
So will it be a separate listing?
Yes, it will be a separate listing.
Okay. When it will happen, sir? This year end?
It's pending, of course, regulatory approvals, but we think it should be this fiscal. But we can, I mean, of course, it has to go through the process.
So next year, we can think of a bonus issue, not this year.
While I will not be able to comment specifically on your comment, what I can tell you is that as soon as Odigma is listed, our shareholders will be receiving shares of that company.
Okay, sir. Because share is not moving too much, that's why.
Yeah. No, and like I said, we've also announced our AGM dates.
Okay.
The cutoff for dividend as well, along with our.
Okay, fair, sir. Fair enough. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Due to time constraints, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you all for attending our first quarter conference call, and we look forward to keeping in touch and, you know, providing you with the latest updates of the company, and look forward to having you again back in our subsequent calls. Thanks all.
On behalf of Go India Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.